Harper Audio presents Waiting for Sunrise by William Boyd, performed by Robert Ian McKenzie.
The author opens this novel with two epigraphs. The first is a quote from Ernest Hemingway. "A thing is true at first light, and a lie by noon." The second quote that begins this novel is from Sophocles. "Truly, to tell lies is not honorable, but when the truth entails tremendous ruin, to speak dishonorably is pardonable." And now, Waiting for Sunrise.
Part 1. Vienna, 1913 to 1914. A young, almost conventionally handsome man. It is a clear and dazzling summer's day in Vienna. You are standing in a skewed pentangle of lemony sunshine at the sharp corner of Augustinerstrasse and Augustinerbastei, across from the opera house, indolently watching the world pass by you, waiting for someone or something to catch and hold your attention, to generate a tremor of interest. There's a curious frisson in the city's atmosphere today, almost spring-like, though spring is long gone, but you recognize that slight vernal restlessness in the people going by, that stirring of potential in the air, that possibility of audacity. Though what audacities they might be here in Vienna, who can say? Still, your eyes are open, you are unusually poised, ready for anything, any crumb, any flung coin that the world might casually toss your way. And then you see, to your right, a young man striding out of the Hofgarten Park. He's in his late 20s, almost handsome in a conventional way, but your eye is drawn to him because he is hatless, an anomaly in this busy crowd of Viennese folk, all hatted men and women. And as this young, almost conventionally handsome man walks purposefully past you, you note his fine brown, breeze-blown hair, his pale grey suit and his highly polished oxblood shoes. He's of medium height, but broad-shouldered, with something of a sportsman's build and balance, you register, as he goes by, a couple of paces from you. He's clean-shaven, also unusual in this place, the city of facial hair, and you observe that his coat is well-tailored, cut tight at the waist. Folds of an ice-blue silk handkerchief spill easily from his breast pocket. There's something fastidious and deliberate about the way he dresses himself. Just as he's almost conventionally handsome, so is he almost a dandy. You decide to follow him for a minute or so, vaguely intrigued, and having nothing better to do. At the entry to Michaelaplatz, he stops abruptly, pauses, stares at something stuck to a hoarding, and then continues on his way, briskly, as if he's running slightly late for an appointment. You follow him around the square and into Herrengasse, the slanting sunrays picking out the details on the grand, solid buildings, casting sharp, dark shadows on the caryatids and the friezes, the pediments and the cornices, the balusters and the architraves. He stops at the kiosk selling foreign newspapers and magazines. He chooses the graphic and pays for it, unfolding and opening it to glance at the headlines. Ah, he's English. How uninteresting. Your curiosity is waning. You turn round and wander back towards the pentangular patch of sunlight you abandoned on the corner, hoping some more stimulating possibilities will come your way, leaving the young Englishman to stride on to wherever and whomever he was so intently heading. Lysander Rief paid for his three-day-old graphic, overseas edition, glanced at a headline, "Armistice signed in Bucharest, Second Balkan War ends," and ran his hand unreflectingly through his fine straight hair. His hat! Damn! Where had he left his hat? On the bench, of course, in the Hofgarten, where he'd sat for 10 minutes, staring at a flowerbed in a fearful quandary, wondering agitatedly if he was doing the correct thing, suddenly unsure of himself, of this trip to Vienna and everything it portended. What if it was all a mistake, all vain hope and ultimately pointless? He looked at his wristwatch. Damn again! He'd be late for his appointment if he went back. He liked that hat, his narrow brim boater with the maroon silk band, bought in Lockett's on German Street. Someone would have stolen it in an instant, he was sure. Another reason not to retrace his steps. And he cursed his distractedness again, setting off once more up Herrengasse.